to get us going this morning. Energize us. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy and partner in crime, Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us on this Friday morning, January 10th already. Wow. Kind of flying by. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Jim Antle of the American Conservative. And we're going to talk about both our current situation in Iraq with Iran and the latest on the impeachment saga. So stay tuned for that. I think you're going to be interested. And President Trump off to Toledo last night in a bid to shore up his Ohio support, among other things. We're going to talk with the proprietor of the only poll in this country that really counts, the Barber poll, along with what's going on with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's stranglehold on the impeachment documents. So stay tuned for that. And the House passes a War Powers Resolution. Now, what is that exactly? What's a War Powers Resolution? We're going to talk about that as well, examine it. And in our Freedom Works Ultimate Top 10, we have a good one. You know, the big game is finally showing up. I'm going to talk with Ed about it, too. I think it's between Louisiana State University and Clemson for the National Football College Championship. Well, what were the top 10 greatest college football programs of all time? We're going to get into that. So there you go. We got a jam-packed show. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by the best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza. That's in Dunedin. It's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. So, you want a great haircut? It's the best haircut I've ever gotten. The very best haircut. Andrew's Master Barbershop. Great price, too. Boy, we got a lot going on today, among other things. And you never hear about this, right? I mean, how many people know that we have now gotten we went to the highest mark ever in the stock market? I think we're over 29,000. And the Labor Department's Bureau of Statistics announced that the number of people employed, almost 159 million people. That's a record. And it's the 25th record under Trump. Isn't that a little more important than all this other stuff with impeachment? Don't you think? Have we lost our way in terms of what's important to us? Year to year, since December 2018, 1,858,000 more workers have been added to the payrolls in the United States. 1,858,000. The unemployment rate, 50-year low in December, 3.5%. 50-year low. Why aren't we talking more about that and less about impeachment? Now, of course, we're as guilty as anybody else here. It's on everybody's mind. I guess it's like a soap opera. It's like if you had a choice between watching something where everything is always rose petals and balloons and seashells, and one that involves, murder and jealousy and rage and war. Which one would you watch on television? You'd watch the latter. That's just the way we are. That's the way humans are, right? Anyway, I think this is pretty good news, isn't it?
I mean, I remember years ago, I had friends that we're out looking for jobs, and there were no jobs years and years ago.
Yeah.
And now it's like, I don't know anybody that's actually told me I'm actually unemployed and there's not a job out there.
Right.
There are jobs out there. And I think we're starting to really weed out the people that want to work and are ready to work and the ones that are ready just to stay home and collect.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, the greatest thing, it's like my friend that once told me, he said, I like the welfare system they have in Mexico. I said, oh, really? What kind of a system do they have? He says, they don't have any welfare. And that kept the employment rates up because people needed to work to feed themselves. All of those programs, you know they're going to be abused. I mean, it's in our nature as a country to help people. It's in our nature.
It's people that make babies for a living, you know?
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it's in our nature to help people, and that's a good thing. But I think we get lost in how we help people.
Yeah.
I'd rather help. It's the old thing. You teach a person to fish, he fishes for the rest of his life. Keep feeding him fish, he's always dependent on you. Mm-hmm. You know, crazy, crazy, crazy. Anyway, Mr. Trump is in Toledo, or was. And, you know, he loves getting out there. He's out there more on a rally circuit than he is in the White House, it seems to me. Flush with campaign cash. Facing an impeachment trial. God. This is so crazy. They're going to be tried so that they can throw him out of Washington. He's in Toledo. I don't know. If you think about it, it's just stupid. So anyway, he's there. That's too much caffeine in this coffee, Ed. That's what it is.
I thought it was the other stuff that's in the coffee.
Anyway, so he's there, and this is his first major rally in the new year. He almost immediately mentioned the hit on that. Now, we can either call him a commander, a general, or a terrorist. Which should we call this Qasem Soleimani? Is he a commander, a general, or a terrorist? What would you call him, Ed? Is he a... What's your favorite...
How about a general terrorist?
He's generally a terrorist. I like it. So he talked about that. He talked about his good buddy, the denture-stricken Nancy Pelosi, and the upcoming documents of impeachment currently in her medicine cabinet next to her dentures. And I hope when she sends them over to McConnell, she doesn't reach and grab the wrong thing. That's all I'm worried about at this moment. So, I mean, we got all of that going on. And then also, you know, on a less, on a serious note, this horrible crash of that Ukrainian plane, it looks like it was a missile, an inadvertent missile possibly, that blew the plane out of the sky. And, you know, have you seen that video on that thing?
You can see the
flame.
There's no doubt that it exploded in the air because of the wreckage. You know, it didn't just lose altitude and crash into the ground.
It was gone.
Yeah.
It was gone.
So something definitely hit it. And, you know, we heard those Iranian missiles were so accurate, somebody forgot to make sure there weren't any planes in the area.
I read that they actually might have had some sort of, I don't know what you would call it, autopilot missile thing. Whenever something comes close enough to, you know, let's say the Iranian missile site, that it will automatically track and fire at it if it doesn't recognize it, and that there was a possibility something.
Yeah, but I would think commercial aircraft is not, not throwing that.
I wouldn't think so either. So you're saying that somebody aimed it intentionally at
that
plane?
I'm not saying, I don't think it was intentional. I'm just saying dum-dums over there forgot to make sure there wasn't any aircraft in the area. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're going to launch something, you would think that these things can pick out aircraft in the air. So let's wait till that thing passes and then fire, you know?
So in other words, the plane was just accidentally in the path of a missile.
Well, I would assume traffic goes in that area all the time. It's not something new.
Yeah.
And I tell you who's upset is Canada. Because listening to Canadian news this morning.
Do you blame them?
There were 63 60
Canadians on board that plane that were killed. We're going to take our break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about this whole thing with Iran and Iraq and impeachment with Jim Antle.
There's a reason for the sunshine sky, and there's a reason why I'm feeling so high. Must be the season when that love light shines all around us.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network. The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We're back and delighted to have Jim Antle join us. Jim is editor-in-chief of the American Conservative and has written a piece for the Conservative recently entitled No War with Iran and Get Out of Iraq, which gets right to the point. Jim, welcome to Freedom Works.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure. I want to get into your article, and I think you make a very good point here. Despite the thousands of American lives and billions of U.S. dollars sacrificed to remake Iraq, Tehran has more influence with Baghdad than Washington does. Do we not realize that here?
Right. I mean, I think with all of the discussion about what's going on with Iran and the tensions that are mounting there, we've lost sight of what is our underlying mission in Iraq at this point. Why do we have the number of troops there that we do? Why do we have the green zones still there in Baghdad? And, of course, we're now in the situation where the Iraqi parliament has begun the process of voting to ask us to leave. And maybe instead of threatening sanctions and saying that we don't want to go and all that, we should just say, okay, thanks, you're on your own. You guys deal with Iran yourselves. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense for us to have troops over there being shot at by the Iranians to prop up a government that is in fact aligned with the Iranians. It defies all logic and common sense to me.
Right. Didn't Trump kind of promise we were getting out of the Mideast? Although, you know, it's funny, we're also doing things with Saudi Arabia and troops and stuff.
Yes.
But go ahead. That was his deal, though, wasn't it?
The Trump campaigned on the idea of ending endless wars and particularly shrinking our military footprint in the Middle East. He said that we had wasted a lot of blood and treasure there, that the money we'd spent there over the last two administrations of both parties. We'd have been better off if the presidents had spent all that time and money at the beach. This does violate his campaign promises. Now, I do know that he has made some attempts in Syria and Afghanistan and has gotten a lot of resistance from his subordinates. Now, you can say, well, why is he hiring people who don't agree with him on these questions? But, of course, it was always likely that the permanent bureaucracy and some of the generals were going to be resistant to any change in on this front. But yes, I mean, we're going to have more troops in Iraq, we're having troops in Saudi Arabia. The military footprint that we were supposed to shrink is instead growing. And I think we have to ask ourselves the question, why? Is what we're doing over there making us safer? And does it make any sense? Does it advance some vital national interest of the United States? And I think it does not.
Do you agree with the takedown of Soleimani, that general, that terrorist?
You know, I don't necessarily have a problem with him being killed. Now, clearly, it is a little bit more complicated a situation than taking out somebody from ISIS or Al-Qaeda, because he is, affiliated with the government of a nation state, a hostile nation state, and a liberal nation state, but a nation state nonetheless. So it does raise some complicating factors, and it does potentially expose our troops to retaliation. But, you know, I think he certainly had it coming. He certainly has a lot of American blood and Iraqi blood on his hands. What I want to avoid is either Iraq deteriorating to the situation closer to what it was like in 2006, 2007, which is really bad for our personnel over there, or an Iraq-like situation in Iran. I think, to me, those are the bigger concerns than taking out Soleimani.
We're talking with Jim Antle. He is editor-in-chief of the American Conservative, and we're talking a little bit about what is going on in Iraq currently with Iran. You know, Jim, first of all, our presence in the Mideast, to a large extent, is dovetailing with Israel. I mean, we're there in a way to kind of, I don't know, we're like the big brother in a way to Israel, I guess. Although they themselves seem to be totally able to take care of themselves. But we got that deal going. Then we got, for years and years and years, we were dependent on Saudi Arabia and that area for oil, which we no longer really are. We actually produce more oil than they do. And so that excuse is gone. Israel is taking care of itself. And Trump says, yes, we should be getting out of the Mideast. And yet we seem to just linger there. And then you start to say, okay, but we've got all of these companies over there, and maybe the lobbying groups and the politicians have their, they're getting paid. Is there any of that going on?
Well, certainly there's money to be made by continuing wars, by having a presence in these foreign countries. And there's also just a certain amount of inertia. When you're doing something for a number of years, the burden is on the people who want to change it, not on the people who want to keep going, having things the way they are. But yes, I mean, the whole strategic situation over there has changed, given the fact that we don't really have the same dependency on Saudi oil that we once did. The Israeli security situation is better in some respects than it once was. The constellation of forces in the Middle East, it's not like there at any point in the near future there are going to be governments in these countries, with the exception of Israel, that are going to be particularly friendly to the United States. And we can continue to topple regimes, pay off regimes, send troops to protect regimes, and it's not really going to do us a whole lot of good. And so we have to ask ourselves, given that we have an ocean separating us from all of this, given that we have a strong military that can protect our homeland, given that we have a certain degree of energy independence at this point, what are we really doing over there?
Right.
And I don't hear a compelling answer to that question, but I see a very strong reluctance on the part of Washington to do anything differently than we've already always done it.
Yeah. Let's hope that Trump keeps his word, pushes the envelope on that. Want to get over, if
Absolutely.
We might. Yeah. I want to get over, Jim, with you, if we might, to the impeachment thing. And if you were listening to us prior to your coming on, we've taken it rather lightly these days because it's been going on and on and on and on. And now Nancy Pelosi claims that she's going to be sending over those documents. Apparently, if you believe everybody that is in Washington talking about it, next week, this trial may begin.
Right.
Where do you come down on this whole impeachment situation of Trump? I mean, do you buy into is there on this?
Look, I think virtually every president since the early 20th century has committed what I think we could define as impeachable offenses if we were really strictly enforcing the Constitution. We have not strictly enforced the Constitution. I think that the Democrats in the House, Nancy Pelosi, if they really thought there was there, they would not be delaying the articles of impeachment and hoping that some other development happens while they're delaying it that will make moderate Republicans nervous and uneasy. I mean, to the degree that there was any point to their strategy of delaying sending those articles over to the Senate, and I think, you know, it's very questionable whether they had any leverage, you know, as Mitch McConnell said, in sending us things that we really don't want to have. The point of it, I think, was to try to make people like Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski nervous and break with Mitch McConnell and maybe make Mitt Romney decide he wants to get favorable headlines in the New York Times and break with Mitch McConnell. And if you get about four Republican senators to vote with Democrats on making the rules of the Senate trial, then maybe you can do something. But it doesn't appear that there's any likelihood of that happening, and Mitch McConnell holds all the cards.
Yeah, and even if you got all those people to come over onto the Democratic side of the table in a vote, you still aren't going to go anywhere. You need two-thirds of the Senate to convict.
Right.
I mean, this is not this is not going anywhere. I mean, and your point maybe is, you know, the longer they extend it, the more it will be in the people's memories when they go to vote. I mean, what is the point here? I mean, you would think that in a way, even some Democrats are saying, come on, get them over there. Let's go, you know?
Yeah, it's clear that whatever she was hoping to accomplish isn't going to be accomplished. I mean, I think that the goal was, I think they know it's unlikely that the president will be removed, but they would like for the Senate trial to be as politically damaging to him in his reelection bid as possible. And they don't think McConnell is going to conduct a trial that will do that. So it's very ironic here that we're impeaching President Trump over delaying but ultimately dispersing some aid to Ukraine, supposedly trying to extract concessions that would help him in the 2020 election. Because of that, we're delaying the articles of impeachment until we can get a Senate trial that will help the Democrats in the 2020 election. It's very a bizarre thing to watch unfold, but that's what we're looking at.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, if you think about it, yeah, he was trying to get some dirt on Biden, but Biden was doing something corrupt. I mean, he's got his son over there. Come on, his son over there working on the board. He has no business being over there. The only reason he is because they want access to Biden. Then Biden says, fire the prosecutor that's looking into the energy company or you're not getting this money. I mean,
well, and I think that's
what's going on, thing. You know?
Right. I think that's another thing that the House Democrats are worried about. They don't want the Senate trial to focus on the Bidens at all. They would like to see something where nobody related to the Biden matter is actually called to testify, actually called as a witness. They want this trial to solely damage Trump. And certainly a real fact finding on this could be just as damaging to Joe Biden. And I think that's something that they're hoping they can avoid, and they can try to twist Senate Republicans into not doing that.
Yeah, disregard the man behind the curtain, just like in The Wizard of Oz. You know, focus over here. I mean, that's what it's all about. Jim, it's a pleasure to have had you on. I hope we can have you on again down the road.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Jim. All right. Jim Antle, of the American Conservative. We're going to take our break. When we come back, we're going to get another perspective on what's going on with the impeachment and the rally in Ohio from the proprietor of the Barber Poll, Andrew Ceresi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Don't miss the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. We'll bring you up to speed on craft beer events and festivals, local breweries, and interview the brains behind the brews. So grab a pint and listen to the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network, and visit the website, thecraftbeerhour.com.
A bolt of lightning can contain upwards of 1 million volts. And if it strikes at the proper time...
Beating it out of Kalorn. The stand go. He scores!
And with the correct frequency...
The fourth goal for the Lightning here.
It generates enough electricity to power the hearts of an entire city for generations. Be the thunder this Tuesday. Lightning versus Kings, 7 p.m. Tickets at TampaBayLightning.com.
Tom O'Brien is on the Tantalk Radio Network. Every Monday through Friday from 4 till 5 p.m., Tom takes to the airwaves as he breaks down the day's market action. Tom combines his technical knowledge of the markets with his years of trading experience to take your calls and questions every market day from 4 to 5 p.m. Whether you're new to trading or an active day trader, don't miss out on the Tom O'Brien Show live on the Tantalk Radio Network from 4 to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back and delighted to have the proprietor of the only poll really that matters in this country, if you think about it, the Barber Poll, because it reflects what mainstream America is thinking these days. Andrew Ceresi is joining us. And Andrew, President Trump was off to Toledo, Ohio last night, in the midst of all of this stuff going on with the impeachment and, of course, with the Iranian-Iraqi situation. He's over there in Toledo, and he had another great crowd. Did you watch any of that?
Of course, I watched the whole thing, Paul. You ought to know better than to ask something like that.
Well, I know, but, you know, I want to ask you.
Paul, you know, it's amazing what the guy is doing. I mean, look at the crowd that was there. Look at the crowd that couldn't get in outside. I don't know if you've seen pictures. It was phenomenal.
So, yeah, it is. And he just seems to relish the attention. You know, he glows and basks in it, which is, I think, in many ways a good thing for a guy that's a president. And he is spending a lot of time out on the circuit. Ohio is an important state. I mean, it's always
an important state. He took that state big time, you know, the last election, Paul.
He did. And, in fact, yes. Obama won it. And that was one of the reasons Obama won the presidency, both times he ran. So Trump wins it, and he wants to win it again. So he's there. Now, there is some job loss, Andrew, in Ohio. You know, a lot of manufacturing jobs. But overall, look at the economic numbers. Do you think people in Ohio, despite the manufacturing wounds that they've received,
They're going crazy with him. I was watching him interviewing the people in the restaurants this morning. They're all behind Trump 100%, Paul. And you know what? You don't hear it, but I believe most of the country is. You know, the silent majority. You know, one thing I got to ask you, and maybe it's just the way I think, but how come Ukraine comes up in everything, Paul? I mean, this plane that got shot down by the Iranians was a Ukrainian airline, right?
Yeah,
nothing. How come I don't hear nothing out of Poland, nothing out of Hungary, you know, nothing out of Kiev? Everything is out of Ukraine. Now, what the hell is a Ukrainian commercial airline doing in Iran at the time when there's a war going on.
You know, I never thought about that, but actually that is kind of coincidental, isn't it?
Well, it might be coincidence, but my curiosity is, who in the hell was on that plane that's trying to hide that they, you know, Paul, John Kerry's been there an awful lot.
Well,
You know what I'm saying?
I can tell you from the Canadian news this morning, and I'll pull that piece, that that is a very popular route for people in that area to get to Canada, because the final destination of that flight was Canada. So there were 63 Canadians on there, but a lot of people that from the Middle East that are getting to Canada goes that route. So that's a very popular route.
You think, wonder, why would these people want to get on that plane at that time, knowing what's going on? I'd stay the hell away from there.
Mm. So, in other words, Tehran was like an intermittent stop along a route that Canadians
Like Atlanta is to everything. You know, you got to go through Atlanta. You got to go through Houston.
But isn't it, you know, Obama was involved with this. Kerry's involved over there. Obama was involved heavily with Iran. And all of a sudden, the Ukrainian airliner gets shot down.
So what
again, Ukraine. I mean, to me, what is Ukraine? Always coming up for something.
So what are you implying that there might be some sort of conspiratorial thing with the plane?
Well, it could have been somebody on that plane that knew too much about something somewhere.
Oh, I see what you mean.
I mean, there's a possibility. Nothing leaves my mind. I don't trust none of these people these days.
No, but it was shot down by the Iranians.
That's right. So hey, Obama's a big, they're big fans of Obama, aren't they? He gave him, what, $180 billion, didn't he?
So but you think that they were doing Obama's orders, marching orders?
Who knows? Okay. Who knows? Hmm. The only one that knows is the man up above.
Yeah.
But, you know, it puts questions in my mind, Paul.
Well, there was something strange about it. It's like that Epstein thing, right? I mean, it's like all the coincidences about Epstein. And now they got another thing they didn't do in terms of recording stuff. I mean, it is almost,
even if you're not
conspiratorial, you start to go, something.
You know what really got me was little Mr. Trudeau over there in Canada trying to blame Trump for the airliner being shot down.
This is Pryor Smith who does the Canadian news. Here's the piece here.
Okay.
The Prime Minister claims that 138 of the people killed in that crash had Canada as their final destination. That flight, by the way, is popular with Canadians who fly to and from Toronto and Tehran via Kiev.
There you go.
Now, why? I guess my question was, why would anybody in Canada want to go to Tehran to begin with?
Maybe to go in to visit Canada. I don't know. Maybe
they could have been Iranian immigrants that they let in Canada.
Okay.
They went to visit home.
Yeah, that may be. That may be.
But anyway, it all sounds suspicious to me. You never know. As far as their impeachment goes, look at her trying to take powers away from Trump. It's like the gentleman you had on earlier. They're trying to ruin Trump, his reputation. It ain't going to happen, Paul.
Yeah.
People aren't listening to him.
Now, Nancy says that she will soon, is the word, transmit the impeachment documents. And it looks like it's going to be next week. Here's Lindsey Graham. He is Republican, of course, a staunch defender of Trump. In fact, I'll tell you, Lindsey Graham, you got to give this guy credit. I mean, he's been leading he's been kind of leading the charge when it comes to the defense of Republicans and Trump. He says,
he's come a long way, you know.
He has,
He's come a long way because in the beginning he wasn't crazy about the situation.
No, he was not a Trump supporter. You're right.
But he come a long way, just like a lot of the American people are, Paul. He's just an example.
He said that next week is when they're going to start the impeachment proceedings. I guess he's got some. He says, hats off to Mitch McConnell, who is the Senate Majority Leader, for playing this very well. He says, we'll take the trial up next week. That's what he said. He was on Fox News' Sean Hannity show earlier this week. He says,
with or without the papers, right?
Yeah, he says, Nancy Pelosi, the, quote, impeachment dam has broken, unquote, pointing to growing calls from even some Democrats for her to get those documents the hell over to Mitch McConnell in the Senate, you know, and away they go. Now, Mitch McConnell doesn't say they won't use witnesses. He said, we don't want to be intimidated by the House and Nancy Pelosi. Get the documents over here, and then we'll work out what we're going to do.
That's right. There's no need for the Senate to be intimidated. Anybody's intimidated is Congress, Paul.
Yeah.
Because they know what's going to happen. And they know there's nothing they can do. Mm-hmm. They keep driving their car right into the brick wall. at high speed.
You know, I wonder if there's anybody that can go and run against Nancy Pelosi in that district. Of course, that's in the San Francisco area where they're all crazy.
What do you think about New York now? They want to start letting the illegals vote. Another thing that came up.
Well, yeah, when you give away driver's licenses to illegal immigrants, how are you going to stop somebody from showing?
Illegal immigrants should be allowed, non-citizens should be allowed to vote, they say. Since when?
Yeah, well, that's ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous.
Now, I wonder if there's anything the federal government can do to stop them.
Yeah, well, it's unlawful. You can't allow a non-citizen to vote in our presidential elections, our national elections.
Well, why do they think they're going to get away with it?
They can't get away with it if we were, you know, the thing, I don't know, many people have said it over the decades, centuries, whatever. It's when people do nothing rather than stand up and do something that we get in trouble. You know, it's your republic if you can keep it, you know?
That's right. Listen, Trump is, I think he's, as far as I'm concerned, at 64 years old, this guy is more for the American people than Ronald Reagan even was.
Mm-hmm.
And if people don't see it, and I believe they are, Paul, like I said, the Democrats know they got nowhere to go, nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. The Democrat Party is divided. Pelosi's being told what to do. It's over with.
Yeah.
There's nothing they can do, and they're running afraid.
So Biden, and did you know that Biden is leading, I guess, in, let me find that story here.
Over Trump again?
No. It's, well, they always
show. Yeah, I saw that one. I laughed.
They always show Biden leading over Trump, but I'm trying to find the poll that talks about South Carolina and the fact that there's this, where is it, this guy that is come along here that is surprising everybody with his, I can't even think of his name, Sturgis? He's coming in second in South Carolina. Where is that stupid story here? Oh, boy. I know I have it somewhere, and I can't find it. But anyway, so Biden is leading in South Carolina, where he should lead, because there's a large African-American Democratic vote going on. And, you know, Biden is the one guy that's going, if anybody has got, hold of the African-American vote in the Democratic Party, it's Joe Biden. And it's based on his connection to Obama. But Obama's kind of abandoned Biden.
Well, you know, Paul, you see Trump coming up too now with the black Americans and his popularity. They're even realizing what's going on. The blacks, though they've been trapped for years, the educated blacks now are coming up more and more every day explaining to the lower educators what's been going on.
Right. By the way, I found the story here. Joe Biden continues to hold a large lead in South Carolina as newcomer Tom Steyer, that's the guy.
Okay.
You know who he is?
Yeah, he's another billionaire.
Now,
he?
If Tom Steyer came into your barbershop and he needed, he needed a nice haircut, would you allow him to sit down? Would you do it?
And he's a Democrat, isn't he?
Yeah.
He'd walk out with a DT on the back of his head.
DT used to be, back in the 50s, when I was a little boy, and I was a little boy back then, ducktail, and when the guys would wear those things.
But I don't mean ducktail. I mean just Donald Trump.
I know that.
You know better than that.
Well, at least you...
There aren't too many Democrats come in the shop, Paul, believe me. They come in, they see that there's like a Trump museum in there. You've seen it.
When you come
in... They come in and see that, they go in a hide mode. It's amazing to watch them.
The first thing...
They panic. I almost have to give them a Valium or something just to calm down.
The first thing you are accosted with when you come into his very beautiful barbershop is a life-size stand-up poster of Donald Trump. It looks real, by the way. It looks like he's standing there, waving to you as you come in. It's very impressive. And we all know, and everybody knows when they go in there what to expect. First of all, expect a great haircut at a great price, because that's what you will get. And secondly, expect to talk a little politics and in favor of Donald Trump. That's just the way.
Well, we try to Trumptize people. The latest single, we're Trumptizing.
Yeah. So, in other words, rather than traumatize, if you were to take hold of a Democrat and inflict Donald Trumpisms, they would be Trumptized?
That's it. We chain him to the chair.
Uh-huh.
We get all the Donald Trump paraphernalia. We exorcise him, just like they used to when people they thought they were possessed by the devil. Because it's really the same thing.
If it's you're an Democrat, exorcism.
You're kind of possessed by the devil.
Yeah.
Right?
So you're.
So we got to do a Trumpcircism.
That's what I was going to say. It's a Trumpcircism.
That's right.
I think that's a good idea. I wonder if it would really work.
We keep turning them out, believe me.
Well, you know what?
I hear a lot of converts come in here that were Democrats all their life. They say, there's no way I'm voting Democrat no more.
Well, that's another thing. Actually, the truth is that Trump has pulled a lot of Democrats over. The ones that were kind of, kind of like Biden in a way. The blue-collar Democrats, or at least Biden used to be like that. Those people tend to vote for Trump.
Biden being 78 years old, they're leading him pretty easy these days, you know?
They
telling
are.
Him what to do and what to say. Sure. I mean, he even talks about the Green New Deal. Come on.
And, you know, Trump's got a huge war chest. And one of the things I guess you're going to hear, if indeed Biden becomes the nominee for the Democrats, he said, you're going to be hearing the two words, Hunter Biden, Hunter Biden, Hunter Biden, all the time.
I think you're going to be hearing the Biden name, you know, a lot pretty soon, too, when Durham comes out with his investigation. We haven't heard anything about that, have we?
No, we
haven't.
That
kind of got quieted down, didn't it?
Yes, it did. Why doesn't he come out with it now and get it? Or is he just waiting for the
impeachment? It's got to come out in pieces, Paul. It's got to last right to the election.
Mm-hmm.
It can't come out all at once. It's got to be little dribbles to the election.
We'll
be seeing it.
When do you think? Do you think we'll see it in February? March,
I don't know. I
April?
Don't know.
They don't want to get
it. You know, I got to ask the Donald magic ball in there. I'm going to have to ask
the magic ball, and it will say something like, seems likely, or something like that. Remember that thing? No matter what you would ask, it's
the magic eight ball.
The magic eight ball. Oh, my God.
But anyway, Paul, I think it's going to go Trump's way. We all know that it's going to. What's going to happen with Iran, who knows? You know, he handled that situation perfectly, I believe.
Do you think we should, Jim Antle, he was the guest we had, should Trump kind of follow up with all this, because he said he wanted to get out of the Mideast. Shouldn't we just pull out? What do you think?
I think he's going to. He went in there, showed his strength. Don't mess with us. You know what? We're tired of the Iraqis. We're tired of the Iranians. We're tired of all of them. Let them fight there. Let them kill each other. I think we should supply him with all the small arms he can have.
Yeah. On the other hand, he is a devotee of Israel and a backer of Israel. Is that one of the reasons we kind of linger?
It might be, but, you know, they don't need our help. Israel can handle themselves really well.
I think so, too. They have been up until now, haven't they?
That's what I'm saying. Every time they get attacked, what happens to the Arabs?
Yeah, you're right.
They go running back with their tails between their legs.
Yeah. You know, it's always a pleasure, Andrew, to talk with you, and you sound good. I'm glad to hear you're back on your feet and everything is well there. And I am looking forward to our chat next week when we pick this up again. Maybe by the time you and I talk again, maybe those impeachment documents
they're going to be delivered.
I think they
keep trying to just put that under the cover, believe me. Because they know it's not going anywhere. They never had anything on him. It was a bunch of bull crap. You don't even hear about Adam Schiff no more, do you?
No, I wonder whatever happened to him. Maybe he could personally deliver the impeachment document over to Mitch. I'd like to see that. That would be a great photo.
Now, remember, next week, what is it? The 20th is on Friday, I believe, isn't it?
Well, what's today?
Or is it Saturday?
No,
going to have that big rally in Virginia, Paul. We got to watch that.
Oh, the rally in Virginia. Yeah, that'll be interesting.
We're going to have to watch that, Paul, because a lot of stuff's going to be going down there.
Yeah, you keep talking
and that could be a preview of what's going to be going on.
Indeed, we will have to. Thank you so much, Andrew.
All right, Paul, be good.
All right, buddy. There he goes, Andrew the Master Barber. We're going to take our final break, a short one, by the way, and we will be back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food and Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is all...
Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment of Freedom Works, and we, as promised, want to talk a little bit about the War Powers Resolution. The House voted yesterday in favor of this resolution. It's meant to limit Trump's military action towards Iran. The vote was 224 to 194, mostly along party lines, but both parties had some defectors. 8 Democrats voted against it. 3 Republicans voted for it. And so here's the deal. It's meant to reassert congressional authority and rebuke Trump's decision to take out Qasem Soleimani in that drone strike. It requires the president to consult with Congress in every possible instance. That's what it says. In every possible instance before introducing the U.S. armed forces into hostilities. So it also handcuffs Trump when it comes to future things. It says Congress has not authorized the president to use military force against Iran. So the measure directs the president to terminate the use of U.S. armed forces to engage in hostilities in or against Iran or any part of its government or military. You know, Congress kind of usurped or gave up, whatever you want to call it. It's congressional authority to declare war with the War Powers Authorization Act way back during the Jimmy Carter administration. And why they ever did that is beyond me. Now, you do need to be able to be on guard for a strike, and you can't wait for the Congress to vote on it. If a missile has been launched, say, by North Korea or somebody headed our way, so you got to take action. But other than that, can't they figure out a way to get it back to Congress whenever it comes to these things? Because that's where the Constitution says that the decision making really lies. The president is only the commander in chief. That means he's like the top general, and the general does the bidding of the Congress in this case, whether or not to go to war. It's like this. The Congress says, yes, go to war. The generals say, fine. Now you've told us to go to war against this country. I will plot out the strategy. That's really what the president's job description is. But we forgot about that. Now we allow the president to just decide, well, I think I'll send a missile over here and I'll send a drone over there. No, no, no. No. You don't do that. You don't have the, to kill people in a country. No, I don't think so. And that's where we have to kind of step back and reexamine it. Okay. Enough of that. It's time. You know, we got the, Ed, we got the, and I'm going to ask you on Monday because we have a show.
But Monday night, I think, is the championship college football game. It's between Clemson, who's been there quite a bit recently, and a very good Louisiana State University team. I do not want to hear your prediction. Do you think, though, without telling me who you think will win, do you think it'll be an exciting game?
Yeah, I think so. And congratulations to college football for dragging this out as long as possible. I don't know why they couldn't have it last week, you know? These poor kids haven't played football in a while.
Yeah,
you know?
That's a good point. They get rusty, don't they?
Yeah, and that's where injuries happen. And there's two kids, you know, at quarterback. You've got, Burrow at for LSU, and the other kid, Trevor Lawrence for Clemson. And looking forward to the draft, Burrow's going to be the first pick, and next year. This Trevor Lawrence is going to be the greatest thing to ever come out of college football, I think, at quarterback.
Really?
I could see on draft day next year a couple of general managers getting into a fist fight over this guy.
Do you think, will the Bucs be one of them?
Who knows?
You never know, right? Yeah. Okay, it's time for our top 10. And this is the all-time greatest college football programs ever, and Sports Illustrated did it. And therefore, you might want to respect this one. So here we go, number 10. Oklahoma. Oklahoma. The Sooners have been a juggernaut for two decades straight after some weak time in the 1990s. Okay, number 9. Tennessee. While the star for number 10 on this list, Oklahoma is rising. The stock at number 9 is Tennessee. It's falling. Mm-hmm. Falling. The Vols are struggling recently. Number 8. Penn State, the Nittany Lions, are 8th in all-time wins, but they are the only program on this list with a longer drought, without a national title than one other team. Number 7, Nebraska, the Cornhuskers. Like many on this list, they've been stuck in a decade-long rut, but I remember for years and years they were right up there. Number 6, Notre Dame, the Irish. And their 8 national AP titles are only bested by one other team. And
they haven't won anything in so long.
I don't know why
they're up that high. And they have their own network. And channel, and NBC broadcasts all their games.
They do, don't they?
Yep.
Yeah, they're a popular team. Always been. Okay, number 5. USC, the Trojans. They've been on the roller coaster ride since the highs of the Pete Carroll era ended a decade ago. Number 4. Texas, the Longhorns, just 3 wins behind Ohio State for 3rd all time. Number 3, Michigan, the Wolverines. They have not won a championship, though, since 1997. Wow.
Can't beat Ohio State either.
No. Number 2, speaking of Ohio State, it's Ohio State that's number 2. Remember Woody Hayes? The Buckeyes only trail Michigan in all-time wins. 953-911. But their two last titles this century were 2002 and 2014. All right, Ed. All right, I'm going to put you on the spot. Who do you think is the number one all-time greatest college football program?
I don't know. I mean, jeez. I'll say Clemson. I don't know.
Okay, roll the drum. Clemson's a very good guess.
That's not it.
But it's Alabama.
Oh, yeah. Why didn't I pick that?
The Crimson Tide, 4th on the all-time list in wins and number 1 in titles. Wow. Mm. All right, my friends, back on Monday. Thanks for listening. Always remember, freedom works.
WTAN, Clearwater.